Just a quick reminder, we've not, Vicki, if you'd get this on our social media, you probably have had it, but the offering for Bridge to Tomorrow is this coming Sunday. And anyhow, you guys are always in the mode to give, aren't you? That helped us do a lot of pay for the parking lot. The parking lot seemed like it's, I don't want to call it a money pit, but it takes money to keep it kind of shaped up. So, but anyhow, thank you. We used most of that to do just that in past offerings, and it came in really handy. So I think it's good that we just kind of try and stay ahead of that, and God is a good God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you do in your people's lives. I want to do, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, and I think about the Holy Spirit just simply because I understand the importance of it, because one of the things that Jesus did is he made it real clear to his disciples and apostles that I'm going away for your benefit. I'm leaving here, going to heaven for your benefit. And that would be that he's going to send us the Comforter, so that by the Spirit of God, he can be with us at all times. So I am going to challenge us tonight, and I don't know how witnessing you feel, but I would like to give opportunity for us to, those that would, to just give a little bit of a testimony about when, about what the Holy Spirit nudged you to do, or the Holy Spirit told you to do, or led you to do. And, you know, sometimes again, and I don't think we're there in this church, but a lot of times people, when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues, speaking of tongues comes into play, and people say, there's more to the Holy Spirit than speaking in a prayer language. Thank God for that, being able to speak in another tongue and having that prayer language. It's gotten me through some really incredible times, moments. And without the Holy Spirit, I think it would have not been turned out so good. And they are the sons and daughters of God who are led by the Spirit of God. So I'm just saying, if you have a testimony, and I'm going to give you a couple of mine up front, and then I'm going to share a little bit about the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity to come up and just share what maybe the Lord, and when I say come up and share, just come up and share, and I'll hold the mic. But there's two incidences in my life. I mean, there's a bunch of them, but I just remember these two because they had to do with highway travel, so to speak. And years ago, when Kristen was still playing volleyball for Fort Hays State, that we were on our way to Kearney, Nebraska, to play Kearney, who is a perennial powerhouse in NCAA Division II. They're good, and in our league, they've been real good. They dominate. And we were going up there. It was happened to be Halloween, beautiful day, and we hadn't won a game all year. We were 0-24, something like that, and going into Kearney, who was, I don't know that they'd even lost. And I love college kids because they can be so creative with the thinking, but they played us in about midway into the third set, and we got trounced every game almost. During one of the timeouts, one of the college students yelled at us, "I know, the Fort Hays girls came dressed up as volleyball players." It was kind of a whoop, but it was also kind of funny. But on the trip up there, we were driving, and I'd been reading a book by Billy Graham on the blood of Jesus and pleading the blood of Jesus. And so I'd prayed that, and when we left that morning, I just pled the blood of Jesus over our trip, and we got a little bit into Nebraska, and I don't remember, what's the town that starts with an H going into Holdridge? Thank you. And we were just this side of Holdridge, I believe, and it was a beautiful blue sky, no wind. It was just a beautiful day, great sunlight. And we're headed north, and there's a semi-truck coming from this, or we're headed south, and we're headed north, the semi-truck's going south. But anyhow, just instantly that truck started bouncing, and the trailer just bounced over into our lane. And I didn't have anything to do, but just I was going to have to head for the ditch. But I remember saying, "In the name of Jesus," and honest to God, that trailer just went right behind that truck. And when we went by that truck driver, I looked up and I saw his eyes. They were about that big, and mine were about that big, and I was thinking it'd been a good day to have any pins. And that didn't happen, but I mean, it was, you just didn't really have time to react. And, whether or not we would have, but that thing came clear across our road, our side, our lane, and into the edge of the road as well. And you could see dust flying everywhere. And that thing just popped up. And I've talked to truck drivers since, and they said, typically when that happens, it's out of control. And there's not much they can do to correct it. And, but there is something that the angels can do to correct it. And, I know that was the Holy Spirit. I knew it. I didn't have time to get frightened. And that's kind of where I believe walking with the Holy Spirit takes us, and we need to understand that, because the Holy Spirit's there. He's hovering, just ready to move at the Word of God, if you will, and beckons for the Word of God to be spoken and acted upon. And this last July, early July, Debbie and I had gone to Lakin to visit my sister in Lakin, Dixie, and her husband, and then my sister from Austin, Texas. She and her husband John came, and we spent 3 days together there in Lakin. And on the, I think it was the second day, my sister Vivian and my sister Dixie and Debbie decided they were going to go to Garden City, do a little bit of shopping. They all liked to shop, and so they took off. And I'm sitting out on their patio on the west side of their house, and I'm praying. And I just hear these words on the inside, I'm going to take them out. And it was real clear. And my response immediately was, that's not going to happen in the name of Jesus. That's just how I said it. I was sitting out there by myself. If you'd been sitting there, I probably would have said it anyhow. But when I heard those words, I'm going to take them out. I said, no, that's not going to happen in the name of Jesus. I didn't think any more about it after that. And so they went shopping and came home, and we're sitting around at the dinner table, and my sister Dixie said, you're not going to believe what happened. And I said, what? And she said, well, we're headed east to Garden City. We're going around a curve, and a car just came out of the lane. We did not have time to react. All we had time to do was say, Jesus, came over into our lane, and we were just, looked like it was an imminent head-on collision. And anyhow, whatever happened, and that car got separated, got put back in his lane, and it was just like, my sister, she said, apologized. She said, I probably didn't say a real nice word right there. But anyhow, the thing of it was, I said, well, let me tell you what happened here. And so I'm thinking that it's probably a good thing to just do what we can to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. And talk to him, I believe he saved their lives. And he is in the business of saving people's lives. Amen. And we need his help. And so I want you to be thinking about, it could be a small thing. You know, you heard me talk about my, finding my hammer. The Holy Spirit tell me where my hammer was in a 6,000 square foot home. And, that is fun. And, but you learn how to follow the Holy Spirit by doing those things. And I think it's good that we practice sometimes those things. It's, am I hearing the Lord on this? And important. But let's start out in Genesis chapter 1, and we'll get a little ways, starting in the book of beginnings, as Genesis is, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. I always think it's amazing to find out that the Spirit of God was mentioned in the first book of the Bible, first chapter of the Bible, in the second verse. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness, called the light day and the darkness night. I find it interesting, and I don't know if there's some truth to this, but one of the things God did initially was to separate light from darkness. There's a difference. And even in the world today, spiritually, there's a difference between light and darkness. There's a difference between evil and good. And God said the first thing that happened and is that those waters or those day and night was divided, and God did it because he spoke and the Holy Spirit was there to carry it out. And then I'm going to move on into 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1. We'll begin and then we'll read a couple verses. Then the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of God, came up Azariah. And I think it's just good that we look at Holy Spirit moving in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit moves everywhere. He's not hindered by the Old Testament. He loves people. And said, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Obed, and he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from battle. Listen to me, Asa, he shouted. Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. So the Spirit of the Lord comes to people, and I believe he says this to not just, he's not a respecter of persons, but the Spirit of the Lord came on Azariah, and then he went to King Asa, and he said, listen, King, the Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. But he'll abandon you as quickly as you abandon him. You will reap what you sow. God will not force himself on you. Amen. God is a gentleman, and he will never make you do what you don't want to do. So it's good that we understand that just spending time with the Holy Spirit, thinking about him, his presence in our life, allowing him to speak to us, seeking after the Lord gets you closer, not further from God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And I know that that presence of the Lord is something that comes pretty much determined by how we act, pretty much how we respond. You know, sometimes there are days, and I would say we probably all have those days from time to time where we don't feel like there's any presence of God nearby. But that should not negate the fact that we still seek him. We seek the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul. We don't seek him because of feelings. We seek him because the Word of God says, seek him with all your heart. And then he will enter in. As long as you stay with him, he'll stay with you. And he wants you seeking after him. Get closer to him. Jesus said his word is spirit and his life. So when we get into the word of God, the spirit of the word can really literally become that would draw us even closer. And God, I am so glad you said that. And I sent and I've over the years, I've sent people a verse of scripture just out of the blue. I feel I impressed the Lord to send them a verse of scripture. I don't know what's going on in their life. And sometimes I'll get back, thank you. Dear God, I needed that. And then I won't ever get that response. But I can't help but think that a word in due season will help anybody. And so if we're being led of the Spirit, and I would embrace everything that I'm doing, I'm trying to embrace it with my prayer language. I'm trying to get this, because the Bible says when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying the perfect will of God for our life. And sometimes we pray for others and we don't understand what we're praying for, but we can be used by God to pray for, stand in the gap for those people. So walking by the Spirit brings you into a place like James 4 verses 7 through 8. So humble yourselves before God. And humility before God is just fully depending upon him. The most humble man in the world is the man who's most dependent upon God. But because he knows God's his source. So humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. That's what the Lord told Asa when the Spirit of God had come on Azariah. He said, listen, the Lord says, you stick with me and I'll stick with you. You seek after me and I will get close to you. And then here in James 4, we have a similar text where it says in verse 8, come close to God and God will come close to you. That's what praise and worship is all about. Getting close to God and he will snuggle up to you. Revelations 12, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's Revelation 12, verses 10 through 11. So it's amazing that we come to the point where God is literally leading us in every area of our life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, stay alert. A good friend of mine years ago said when he read that scripture, some of you remember Jason Peebles, but he was ministering here years ago and he said, he read that stay alert and he says, what the world needs are more alerts. It's a bad joke, but more alerts. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I think that's someone that has somehow been led away from the presence or closeness with God. And you begin to live in a domain that's not of God, it's of darkness. You know, I've said this, I think, last week or the week before, but I don't believe the devil can operate in the light of God. It just can't happen. And we kind of have to almost step out there for him to have a shot at us. And so that's why we stay close to God. In verse 9, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. People are going through similar stuff as you are. I tell people sometimes we're in a battle, make sure you open your mouth and declare. Remember, I've talked in the last few weeks about when you run toward your giant, don't run with your mouth shut. And sometimes it's going to be filled with the words that you're praying in the Spirit. Other times you know what the Bible says, but speak it out to that situation. So remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through. Sometimes we think we're the only one going through what we're going through. But even as that is said, I guarantee you that there's people in this world. I don't know about you, but I'm not saying this pridefully, arrogantly, thankfully, but I can't imagine what the Christians in Afghanistan are thinking right now. But on the other hand, people that have been over there, that know that Christian move, the move of God over there, they say that those Christians are probably about as tough-minded as any you'll ever run into. And a lot of them refuse to be flown out of there because they said they were going to stay there and fight the good fight of faith. And that's up to person, and everybody lives their life based upon their faith. But the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is in you and near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth. That's why when we speak the word of God and speak it in faith, we don't speak it because we feel like it. We speak it because God told us to speak to the mountain. And that's what we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to read through second verse through verse 6. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious to those who are listening, should they be listening. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church, and that's the will of God when we come together. Verse 5, I wish you could all speak in tongues. This is Apostle Paul talking. He said, I wish you could all speak in tongues. I believe this. I believe it's the will of God for every believer to have their own prayer language. I believe that with all my heart. And but nobody can be forced to do that. So I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy, for prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you're saying to the whole church will be strengthened. Dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you speaking in an unknown language, how would that help you? But if I bring you a revelation of some special knowledge or prophecy or teaching, that will be helpful. And see, I don't believe Paul excludes or makes excuse for the speaking in tongues being used in a church service. I know some pastors, they've gone out of the way, and I have in my mind in times past. But I believe that God, if we come together as a body, a corporate body, because there's a corporate anointing that takes place when the body of Christ comes together. If we come together and there is a gift of tongues, and a gift of tongues is different than your private personal prayer language. Gift of tongues is a gift, one of the nine gifts that's talked about in 1 Corinthians 12. But if a gift of tongues is given in a church, there will always be an interpretation so that everybody would be blessed. Everybody would be blessed from what is said. And so we just don't leave people in the dark, and I think that's well said. So anyhow, again, Paul says in verse 5, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you're saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. And then in verse 18, he says something that we don't always preach this one in some churches, but And then he says in verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. But in a church meeting, I would rather speak 5 understandable words to help others than 10,000 words in unknown language. I don't have a problem with that verse of scripture. It doesn't do away with prayer language being spoken by believers. It just says God is interested in getting everybody strengthened and built up. And if there's going to be a tongue, there needs to be an interpretation. The gifts of the Spirit need to operate that way. But if it doesn't happen as far as tongues and interpretation, then there could be words spoken. And I would say like this, a lot of times when I minister, I don't stop and say, this is a word of wisdom or this is a word of knowledge. But I can go back sometimes and listen to a message that I'm taking. That was a word of knowledge. That was about something that's happening right now. Or the word of wisdom always typically happens and just kind of confirms the future in your life. And I believe this, when you get a word from the Lord, it should be something that the Lord's already giving. It just confirms what you've already heard from the Lord. Amen. Because if you need somebody to give you a word all the time to get to where you're going, you're going to be a frustrated believer, because everybody, eventually their humanity will get involved. Mine has, and other people the same way. But we just need to make sure that we're hearing for God. And so I'm saying all this to say this. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Lord, do you have something for me today to share with somebody? I see that situation. If you've ever been in a situation where you feel impressed to say something to somebody you don't know, the worst thing they could say to you probably is, you're an idiot. Or they can look at you and say, thank you. How did you know? Well, I didn't. The Holy Spirit told me. And I think when we walk that way, I think it takes a little bit of courage, takes a little bit of boldness, but I believe people are looking for an encouraging word in this day and age, especially on a regular basis. Jesus spoke some important last words on the earth before he ascended into heaven. And in Luke 24:49, he says, now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Where's the power to live this life by come from? Comes from heaven. Comes from heaven. It's supernatural. And then in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Amplified Bible says it like this, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. And then in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. The Holy Spirit moves in suddenly sometimes. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven. When the Holy Spirit moves, there can be sound. Sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues, speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. I'm thinking about this, and again, I'm thinking about a situation when I was in Guatemala years ago. A friend of mine had started out in the ministry that we had in Southwest Kansas had invited me to teach in a school that they had started there in Guatemala City. And one of the nights they had scheduled, they were going to go out, and one of the men that came to the church that a lot of people that were going to school went to, it's a pretty good sized church, was a owner of a big highway construction company. He literally did work for the government. The government there controls the money. They try to manipulate things with them having control of the money. But anyhow, the government, I didn't know this, but the government had owed him $8 million, and they were holding out on him. And they told him he wasn't going to get it. And I didn't know this, and so they invited me out to that house, and we went into a gate. That whole house, just their house, had literally a real secure perimeter with guys with semi-automatic guns. It was kind of neat in a way, but other, you know, kind of alarming in another way. But I'm sitting there and we're coming to the end, and the Lord says, tell that man that he's going to get his money. I said, rather not. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. And I'm leaving the next day. And that would, could have been the coward's way out. But the Lord says, I'm asking you to tell him that he's going to get his money. And so I said, sir, you don't know me and I don't know you. And I said, but I do feel very impressed to say this to you. I said, the Lord told me to tell you that if I had known it was $8 million, I maybe not would have said it. You know, numbers can change your thinking sometimes. And so I said, the Lord told me that you're going to get your money. And his wife just began to have tears flow down her face. And I said, well, I hit a nerve, thank God. And he said he profusely over and over again, thank you, gracias, gracias, gracias. And I said, you're welcome. And I said, Lord, now I've done that. And so flew back to the United States. And about 2 weeks later, I was talking to, some of you know Floyd Rice. I was talking to Floyd and he said, Wes, I forgot to tell you, he said about 10 days after you left, the government called that guy into the Capitol there in Guatemala City and gave him his money for all the construction, that all $8 million. I said, well, tell him to send me a tithe. I didn't get one, but I didn't do it for a tithe. But could you imagine what that word must have meant to him? Because some gringo from Hayes, Kansas just said, you're going to get your money back. And God has done that over and over again. You would probably be surprised how many times you just saying something to somebody and you thought, well, you know, that sounded pretty good. And then you realize that really probably wasn't me. But God's looking for, that's why the Bible tells us in the book of James that the most unruly member we have is the tongue. And unless we yield it to that's why speaking in tongues is really on the heart of the Lord, I believe, because just think about this. If the entire body of Christ could pray in the Spirit at the same time for an hour every day, we'd all be speaking directly unto the Father. We'd be speaking the perfect will of God for not only our lives, but for what God is having us pray for this earth. It could be earth changing. And so I do believe that God wants that in our lives. So I encourage people all the time, if you don't have your prayer language, say, Lord, I'm maybe a little bit stubborn in this, but because most of the time we try to grasp it with our thought process, with our own soul, with our own thinking, and it's something that comes out of here, not up here. And what God wants us to do is just yield to Him and yield our tongues to Him. And so when you're out in the community, be thinking about that. I've talked to, and sometimes you get to know people, and they know you're a Christian, they know that you love God, they know that you walk a pretty good life, and I've done this a lot, and I think probably you have too. But I would say something like this. If I felt like the Lord is impressing me to say something, I would say something. I'm getting ready to say something to you. And I said, if it doesn't really bear witness with you on the inside, then just throw it in the trash can and look at me and say, you're an idiot. And made him kind of laugh. And I did that in a doctor's office some time ago. And out of that came a great big move for that doctor that I spoke that word to. And matter of fact, when I spoke that word to the doctor started crying and asked me, said, how did you know that? I said, I did not know that. The Holy Spirit spoke to him this morning when I was shaving. And I argued with the Lord all the way, and I went in and I said, Lord, I really don't want to do this. And so it was, you know, I've gone there enough for tests that I knew that I was about to have the last one. The room that I was in, I was not going to get another chance. This was going to be, because that doctor comes in there and you're in there just you two, the lights are off and they're giving you a final test. And then when I spoke that, the doctor looked at me and said, how did you know that? And I said, I didn't know that. The Holy Spirit told me. And out of that, she and her husband literally became a new, they they separated themselves from the businesses that they were with, and they opened up a new clinic, and it's on Main Street now. And I could tell you the name of it, but I got a lengthy email from that doctor months later, probably more than 8 months later, and telling me that had no clue that God cared that much about what they did. And I thought, well, that was a good word. But I did preface it with, I'm about to say something to you. It may be a little bit unusual to you, but I said, I really feel like I have a word from the Lord for you. And when she started crying, I thought, well, that was the Lord. And I thank God for that. And I do think part of that's just you being ready. If you wake up in the morning, you're talking to the Holy Spirit, and you kind of say, well, Lord, what's kind of the plan today? I don't know about you, but I've kind of been fascinated with the life story of Mother Teresa and the things that she did. She had to hear the Holy Spirit. And literally touched tens of thousands of young kids in the nation of India just by hearing one word from the Spirit of the Lord. And she had other people come and confirm to her. And she took nothing for herself. She just basically got by with the basics. But anyhow, a life well lived, I think, is a life that's listened well to the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I'm thrilled to be a part of a move of God where the Holy Spirit will come to our aid. He will protect us. He will guard us. He will guide us. And we've prayed for people over the years, and some people, I don't know what we would do if we couldn't pray and trust God for not only our lives, but the lives of our children. But just listen to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to close with this scripture out of Romans chapter 8, verses 26. This is out of the Amplified Version. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit and what his intent is. Because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. That's a great verse of scripture in any translation, but I love the way it says it here in the Amplified. That in verse 27, and he who searches the hearts of men knows. Everybody say, he who searches the hearts of men knows. He knows what's in the mind of the Holy Spirit and what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and harmony with God's will. Just looking back to those two incidents on the highway that I believe my life was spared in one of those, and then I believe my wife Debbie and my sister's life was spared in another one. And I'm thinking, I was just sitting out there just talking to the Lord and telling him how grateful I was for what he had done in my life and what he's doing in my life. And then I hear those thoughts, and I thought, I'm talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden I hear this, I'm going to take him out. No, I said, in the name of Jesus, it's not going to happen. And I just went on about my day, and then hours later I found out that he did try to do that. So us speaking the word of God, backed up by the Lord, because he comes to our aid, and he bears us up against every challenge. Amen? So I'm going to give you an opportunity if you would like to. I've got a mic here. There's just a few of us here, and if you speak up, you wouldn't have to come up and get a mic, and I wouldn't have to hold it for you and make you feel bad pulling it away. But just an incident like that where you just realize, I feel like I need to say something, and so I will. And go. Okay. And to acknowledge that when you see God do something in your life, we're saying, how did God know that? How did God know that? I mean, because he's God. But I remember our insurance company called us for this roof. With the south side, we didn't repair it because the last time they did an estimate, they said we didn't need to, so we spent the money doing fixing other things up. And so the guy that I did business with, his name is Charlie McAdory. And nice guy, and he called me up about four weeks ago. And we have a $10,000 deductible. And the job is $20,000. So I'm thinking, well, don't have right now. And so he called up out of the blue and said, Pastor West, he said, looking at this estimate, and he said, you still need to get that south side fixed on your building, don't you? And he said, I said, yeah. And he said, well, we decided that we're going to lump the last two claims together. So the first deductible is going to take care of this one. And he said, I'm just going to save you $10,000. Is that all right? And I said, if I was there, Charlie, I'd kiss you. But that was a blessing from God. And I just thank God. $10,000 to me is still a lot of money. But God does things like that. But you just have to and make sure that you say, hey, thank you. Somebody else. That's good. Well, thank God for God. Everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. And it's hard to go wrong when you just get His advice. Amen. Well, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. God, thank you so much for just what you do in our lives, that we, Father, continue to be a thankful people, a grateful people. And Lord, that we recognize fully that we're here for such a time as this. And we believe, Father God, that you have a will, a purpose for this great country. And we believe this country will come behind and knows nothing. I thank you, Lord, that you are guiding us, directing us. And Father, every household represented here and all the issues that we're dealing with, God, somehow you are making things work. And I thank you for it. And Lord, thank you for the peace of God that leads us, guides us, and directs us into all things. And Lord, and we thank you that we can live in this world full of your calm, your peace, and the freedom to live wholly for you. And we give you honor, give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.